Our reading today will be from Luke chapter 6, and we'll be reading verses 46 to 49, and I'll be reading it out of the New King James Version. Okay, verse 46, Luke chapter 6. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood rose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. What I'd like to speak on today is two foundations. Foundation is important. It's vital. And we're thinking here in the illustration, it's a building and the foundations that are required. What is a good foundation and what is not? We want to look at it in the terms of our life spiritually. What is a good foundation? What will last? What will see us through in the eyes of God? And what is not a sure foundation? Where we can fall, where we can trip up, where we can cause ourselves difficulty unnecessarily. It's a wonderful passage, and this passage is coming towards the end of what we call the Sermon on the Mount. You'll know that as the often talk about the Beatitudes, the Lord's Prayer. We read about it also in the Gospel of Matthew. But here is just a little kind of four verses tucked at the end of chapter 6 of Luke's Gospel. And I find these verses very challenging. And there's a lot in them, both in the context of salvation and also in sanctification. For they're a challenge to people to make a decision to trust in Jesus Christ, to follow him, to make him Lord and Saviour in their lives, or not to do so, and the consequences thereof. There is also the challenge for a believer in Jesus Christ and what their life is and how they are following, and more importantly, how they are growing, how they are developing, how they are maturing. And that is a great challenge for all of us. And these are the words and the message for today, for our thoughts, and for the Lord to speak to each one of our hearts, to listen carefully. There were two builders, a wise man, who's descriptive of the one who believes and is saved. The foolish man is the one who rejects Christ and is lost. The gospel message is founded on the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, "For other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Christ Jesus." When we think of a rock, we think of something secure, something firm, something solid, something that won't move very easily. And that's a picture that we want to use of Jesus Christ. He is solid, immovable, unchangeable. His word is truth. Everything else, heaven and earth, pass away, but the words of the Lord will last forever, endure forever. That's a solid foundation we would proclaim and teach, that it's in Christ Jesus, through his blood, that we find salvation. There is no other way, as Jesus himself said, "I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." We're looking here at verses that talk to us about a wise man. And often we look upon the second example here as the foolish man. Wisdom is important. Wisdom is God-given. And it's something we have to search and we have to look out for. And if we ask for it, God will give us the wisdom. And it's something that we can apply in our lives thoughtfully, prayerfully, and consistently as God gives it to us. Looking there at verse 46, it says, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say?" I wonder if God speaks to us in a verse like that. We can come along to a church service. We can say the right things. We can look the part when we come out. But God knows our very hearts. He knows our inner thoughts. He knows our daily goings on when we are on our own, in the sense where God has put us and placed us, where we work, where we live, where we go about our duties. People can say, "Lord," and it's a very easy thing to say, "Lord," but there's a lot more to it. You can say, "Lord," but not do the things which I say. And there's a little poem that I came across that I think sums this up very succinctly. And it's by a man called Geoffrey O'Hara. "You call me the way and walk me not. You call me the life and live me not. You call me master and obey me not. If I condemn thee, blame me not. You call me bread and eat me not. You call me truth and believe me not. You call me Lord and serve me not. If I condemn thee, blame thee not. Blame me not." That's interesting. That's challenging. It's very profound when someone has a gift that can write things in such a clever way. The challenge is there for all of us. And that verse develops that we've read. We can look and go to James. We can see in chapter 1 there where he talks about being doers of the word. You see, if we take and profess Jesus Christ as our Saviour, then we must live day by day for him. And the current expression that we're all familiar with is 24/7, which means all the time, consistently, never forgetful, never ending. It's very easy to say. It's more difficult to do. It's very easy to start. It's harder to keep on. But the words of Scripture are clear. If we take the Lord Jesus, if we own him as Saviour, then we must be obedient to him. The person who comes to Christ in salvation is the one who listens to his commands and the one who complies with them in their life. And I often use the illustration that if we go nowadays, many of us would go to places like IKEA and get our furniture in a flat pack form, and we take it home, we see it in the catalogue, we've seen it visually before our eyes, displayed in all its finery. And then you would go down to the ground floor and search in the warehouse for this box that's got a number on it. And that's important in itself, because you must match the number that you want with the number on the box. Then you must be able to fit it into your car. And often people have misjudged that their boot is not as big as they thought it was, and they need more help than they realised. The hard bit really comes when you take it into the house and you open up the box and you find the instructions, and then you have to assemble it. But if you use the instructions, if you look at the diagrams, generally speaking, you will succeed. Many of us end up with an extra bit that we've not managed to fit in, or a wee bit that we think's not there, but it really is, but we've used it in the wrong place. But if you follow the instructions, people would go into your house, or we invite them in and they would see that furniture. They wouldn't know where it came from or how you put it together, because it looks complete. It's the same for us as Christians. If we don't follow the instructions, if we don't look at our Bibles, if we don't read them, how are we going to grow? How are we going to increase our understanding and knowledge of the Saviour? How are we going to be faithful to him through the difficult times. For they will be there, and they are difficult, and they are hard. But our knowledge and understanding of God and his word, his message is there for us. And often in life, not always, but sometimes we learn the hard way because we haven't read, because we haven't listened. Many lessons in life we cannot avoid. But there are times when we suddenly realise, if I only had read what the scriptures had taught, I would have avoided a pitfall or unnecessary distraction or anxiety. The instructions are there. I was intrigued recently to find out that there's a lighthouse 11 miles off the coast at Arbroath. It's called the Bell Rock Lighthouse. It's in the North Sea, and it was built by Robert Stevenson, and it was opened on the 1st of February 1811. So it's now celebrating 200 years. It's in one of the most difficult parts of the North Sea. There's a little ridge of rock which is about 2 feet under the water, and many ships perished over the centuries because they didn't see it. And particularly in stormy weather, they couldn't avoid it. They may have known it was there, but they couldn't because of the weather. They didn't realise. Because of that, they built this lighthouse. It's a marvel of engineering that they completed it and opened it. There was 2 lives, I think, lost in the building of it. But since then, nothing has happened to it. It is built, it's solid, nothing has fallen off. It is tremendous. And many lives have been saved because of that lighthouse. And it's a wonderful thing. It must be great to be able to contribute and to help build such a thing. And it's there for all to see. But it's built on a rock. It's solid. It's made to last. That's what we must build our lives on, is the foundation of Jesus Christ. That is the only foundation that will last for all eternity. I was thinking of a wee story I heard, read in a book by Archie Naismith, Notes, Quotes and Anecdotes, and it's an experience of a preacher of old, Dr. Graham Scroggie, speaking on the Lordship of Christ. After he had spoke one night, a young woman who had listened to his preaching, who was a Christian, said that she was afraid that she would have to give up playing the piano in the concert halls if God were to call her as a missionary to China. And Graham Scroggie quoted Acts 10 verse 14, the little words, "Not so, Lord." A slave never dictates and says, "Not so," and then uses the word "Lord." That's impossible. Dr. Scroggie gave the woman a pencil and a bit of paper with the words, "Not so," and the word "Lord." He asked her to cross out the words, "You will not do." And after 2 hours searching and tears in the paper, she crossed out, "Not so." It was to be Lord in her life. And that's a great challenge for us. It's Lord. We can't say, "Not so." As Christians, people who have heard the word, who have trusted in the Saviour, who have committed their life to follow him, it must be Lord. And it's said many times, if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. There's a challenge for us. The contrast to the man, the wise man who builds on the sure foundation, is the one who builds on the opposite. He builds on the sand. He builds where you wouldn't recommend and you wouldn't encourage. For that is someone who doesn't listen to the commands, who doesn't follow the teaching, in fact, it's defiance, builds a life on what they think is best, their own decisions, their own judgment. Then when the storms of life rage, this house is without foundation. It's swept away. And it reminds me of being on holiday down in the south of the Lake District and looking at Morecambe Bay. And there's a man there who's called the Queen's Guide to the Sands, Cedric Robinson. And if you listen to his story or read his story, he's often on television. It's a fascinating part of the country because these sands shift. These sands are treacherous. And you can walk in them one day and it'd be fine. But you could go back another day and they've shifted. And what's very treacherous about them is that they are soft and you can sink. And what's very, very dangerous as well is that the tide comes in quickly. Quicker, they say, than a horse can gallop. And it's massive. And it looks very idyllic. It looks very pleasing. It looks very enticing to go and have a little walk on the flat compared to the hills and the fells of the Lake District. But you have to go with a guide. You have to go with a man who knows what it's all about. And you can. And you can enjoy it. And you can appreciate it. But don't go on your own. You'll just flounder. You will just sink. And often people, when they're in the quicksand, panic, when as actually what you should do is just lie down as opposed to trying to get out. And you would be able to get more help that way than when you're trying to force yourself out. I wouldn't recommend any of us try it. I don't think I would like to be in that situation. But I have seen on camera people who have been in that difficulty, and it takes a fair bit of shifting to get them out again. But there's a contrast. Building on sand. You don't build on sand if you want it to last. You don't build in floodplains if you want your house to survive and you don't want water coming in the front door and through the house. Sadly, we see that too often now, that people build where they shouldn't. And people spiritually build what they shouldn't. There's a great story of Lew Wallace, who was a skeptic. And someone challenged him to write a book about the falsity of Christianity. And after four chapters, it became clear to him that Jesus Christ was a real person after all. He came to know Christ as Saviour and Lord of his life. He continued the book, and that book was called Ben-Hur, A Tale of the Christ, made into a film that you will all have seen at some point in your life. There was one of many skeptics who went to prove that Christianity was false, wasn't real. But when people look at the claims of Christ and go into it seriously and in detail, they realise there's a lot more to it, and that Jesus Christ has a big part to say to anyone who will listen. There's a choice for all of us. Have we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Have we that sure foundation of building on him? Is our life, as the verse 48 says, founded on the rock? Is it built in him? Are we trusting in him? Are we following him as our Saviour and Lord? Is he real in our life? Or are we building on the sands that shift and sink? Are we deciding to do what we think is correct and right? Well, search out, if you are, and find out what the foundation is. Is there any? Is what you believe of any value, of any merit? Does it make any sense? There's a lot of popularity out there that says, don't believe in the Bible. Don't recognise God as Creator and Lord. But when you analyse it, there's not much sense to what people believe outside of God, because it's not logical, it's not sensible. What we believe from the scriptures, what Christians believe, it is logical, it is sensible, but ultimately it is faith, it is belief, but it's founded on truth, and we believe that truth is Jesus Christ. How do we get there? How do we move towards that? Well, like these examples we've been considering today, we have to turn to God's word. We have to look to the claims of Jesus Christ. Right through every book of the Bible, it tells us that Jesus Christ is Lord, is the Son of God. We learn in the Old Testament that he's coming. We find out in the New Testament that he came. And we also find out there that he's coming again for a second time, this time in glory and honour and power. I hope we're all ready for that day. I hope we're all prepared for it, that we know him as our Lord and Saviour. And if we do, that we're living our lives with him as our Lord, that he permeates every aspect of our life, that we're keen and enthusiastic to follow him, that we've come to church today, that we'll come in other days, we'll come when we're able to come and we have the health and strength to do so. We'll come to be taught, we'll come to listen, we'll come to pray, we'll be there to serve him. That's what the Bible teaches. Hebrews, the writer there, tells us, don't give up, don't forsake the gathering together of the believers. Come out, read your Bible, read it every day, pick it up in the morning, have a look at it at night. When you have a moment, it is there, the time is there. Make the time, make the opportunity, read God's word, be blessed by it, because when you read it, it never fails to impress, it never fails to bring a blessing. So hopefully you'll be like the person that builds her house on a foundation that's founded on the rock, that it will last and it will be with you, and that you will rejoice in your life following the Saviour who loved you and gave his life for you. And like the words of the hymn that was penned by Helen Lemmel in 1918, you will be able to turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of life will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Shall we pray? Our God and Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it would be our prayer that all today who listen, who hear these words, will know Jesus Christ as their Saviour and Lord, will be founded their beliefs, their faith, on the rock that is Jesus Christ. We pray for your word, that it may permeate our lives, that it may speak day by day, and that we may be obedient and faithful, not just hearers, but doers also, that we may be able to be consistent day by day, that we may be able to speak well, live well for our Saviour and Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for this time together and ask your blessing now as we would part, remembering the children in the Sunday school, that you would bless them as they hear your truth, your way, your purpose for their life, that they would be the better for it today. These things we ask and pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.